6, verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Somebody's got to say what's right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the what? The first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. God, teach us. Amen. Open our understanding. We're sitting at your feet this morning, and we're looking for direction for our lives, help, protection. And it's through your word, through your church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, we give honor to all of our mothers here, both natural and spiritual. Could you keep the screen down? I should have told you earlier. My Bible tells me that it's the first commandment with promise, and by honoring our mothers, it actually will literally cause us to live longer. You know, it doesn't say if you had a really great mother, honor her, love her. It says respect. I was in my 50s when my mother passed, but if she called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I know where I'd be to help her. She gave her life for me so many times, you see. The word mother in the Hebrew literally means the bond of the family. So the mother is the glue of the family. It holds the family together. Mothers hold the families together like no one else can. The inspiration behind almost every great man and woman of God was a faithful, caring mother. So if you turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse number 5, Paul's talking to a young preacher here, and he says in verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the unfrayed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So what are you saying? You know what? The reason you are who you are is because of your grandmother, because of your mother. You know, I don't see dad mentioned in here, but it was the grandmother and the mother who really held that family together. In all of my home Bible studies, I tell the story of King Solomon in his early reign, and it's to demonstrate the wisdom of God that was on King Solomon. The story is a mother overlaid her newborn baby in the middle of the night, only a few weeks old, and there was also another mother in the house who also had a brand new baby, just weeks old. And so the first mother, after her baby was dead, took the other mother's living child and gave her the dead child. And of course, when the mother awakened and realized what had happened, she brought the issue to King Solomon to judge. You can imagine that, you know, you went to sleep with your brand new baby, and now all of a sudden you have a dead baby there, and you know it's not yours, and so she comes to the king. So if you go to 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 24, and the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. How can you tell? It's because of the love a mother has for his child. Even if I don't get to raise that child, I want that child to live, you see. There's a compassion built in, part of the DNA that causes a mother to love a child, whether that child is great or whether that child hasn't been so good, there's still that natural nurturing love that the mother has. King Solomon knew the love of a real mother will do anything to save her child. A mother will never divide. She unites even to her own hurt. Genesis 3:20 says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. We are all descendants of our mother Eve. Whether we understand it or not, there's part of our DNA that has descended from generation to generation. And that's where we got our flesh from. But we have another mother which gives us our spirit. Galatians 4:26 says, but Jerusalem, or heaven, which is above, is free, which is the mother of all of us. There is a mother. It's the Spirit of God. It's the church of the living God that becomes our spiritual mother to watch over us, to direct us, to tell us what's right, because this world isn't going to tell us what's right. Amen. You see, we don't choose our natural mother. I got a good one who taught me right from wrong and gave me unconditional love, showed me what was moral and what was good. But later in life, I was able to choose another mother that gave me new life and new spirit that put in my heart a love for the things of God. Do you realize that all conflict that is in the Middle East, and we hear about it all of the time, about the Arab nations against Israel, the reason for it is because of two mothers. When Abraham didn't have patience to have a son by his wife, Sarah, as God had promised him, he then took Sarah's servant, Hagar, and had a son by her, and this son's name was Ishmael. But God would not establish the promise with Ishmael because it wasn't according to his word. Ishmael became the father of all of the Arab nations. And Sarah gave birth to Isaac, who is the father of the nation of Israel. They both have the same father, Abraham. And both claim the promise of the land. That's why there's conflict all of the time. This is my land. And there's such a hatred between the Arabs and Israel. But we find that one is from the bondmaid and the other is from the free woman of promise. Two different mothers, you see. And there's where the conflict is. Turn to Galatians 4. And verse 21. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh, but of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. I mean, that's exactly what is playing out in the Middle East, but that's exactly what is playing out in the church today. There's persecution against the ones who were born of the Spirit of the right Father, if you will. We need to understand that we are born of a free woman. Yes, I know Jesus is the Father, but do you understand that the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, is the mother of all spiritual life? You cannot be born of the Spirit unless you have the right mother. You can't have claim to the promises of eternal life if you are not born of the right mother according to God's promise, you see. Just as the devil doesn't want people to know who Jesus is, a no-name God, Father, Spirit, God. Well, the devil also doesn't want us to identify the real mother, the church of the living God. Oh, any old church will do. There, you don't have to have a certain kind of mother or qualifications. There are all kinds of non-denominal churches today. You know, no-name churches. You know, the generic brand of Christianity. No identity as the real mother or of spiritual life. You see, you can't be born without a mother. Aren't you glad you came this morning to find that out? Such revelation here. And without the church, who is the mother? If you're not a part of the church, folks, you cannot be born of the Spirit. You cannot be born of the water. The church who teaches you truth that you didn't have. Amen. Walk with you up to an altar which you would never come to without the proper mother, baptize you in the precious name of Jesus. You see, God fills us with the Spirit, but it's the church that helps us to repentance. It's the church that puts us down into the water. You see, there has to be cooperation with the mother, with the father, or there can't be any new births. If the mother doesn't understand how to, you know, bear children, the church is a midwife in praying people through the Holy Ghost. A real child knows who his real mother is. She's there all the time. She loves unconditionally. She sacrifices for them, teaches them morals, teaches them what's right. I get so upset when parents say, well, we're just going to let them make their own decision. Based on what? You teach them nothing? And based on what they see in mom, based on what they see in dad, that's how their life is going to track. Glory to God. Isn't that what the church does? See, the church leads by example. Amen. When you see the church doing certain things, when you come into the church, you want to follow the right path of the church. Jesus identified the real mother before he left. Isn't that nice? He said, I'll tell you who the real mother is. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he pointed to them, unless you see these signs, unless you see the actions of the real mother, well, you know what? You need to go find your real mother, you know? Glory to God. Get on the internet. Go somehow to a place where you can identify who your real mother is. Track them down through the scriptures. Go to Matthew, the 12th chapter, please. Verse 46. While he, Jesus, yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Folks, if we don't know who our spiritual mother is, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance to the promise. Verse 49, and he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Behold, my mother, my brother, my sister. Thank God that we just don't use first names in the church. I know sometimes when people come in to the church, they think we're a little strange because we say, you know, Brother Portman or Brother Graff or Sister Dorflinger. But you know what? It's because of the family closeness and relationship. We all have one father and we all have one mother. Amen. The mother is the church. Glory to God. I've heard too many people say, I don't need a church. You know, I can talk to God. I don't have to be a part of a church. Well, the church is the body of Christ. It's God with skin on, you know? And thank God for the body or the mother, you know? I've seen kids fall off their bike and scrape up their knee, you know, and they cry for a while, and an hour later they come home, and as soon as they see mom, they start crying all over again. Kiss the boo-boo, you know? Hallelujah. And I've seen people who have had a bad week or a bad diagnosis or a bad encounter, you know? And they think it's all over, and as soon as they come into the church, you know, because there are people who are able to comfort them and relate to them. It's mom saying, you know what? It's going to be all right. We need the fellowship. The word mother, the bond of the family. More children are raised today by their mother only, more than any time in history. The mother is always there, even when they never knew who their father really was. In Mexico, the biggest holiday of the year is Mother's Day, because there are so many mothers who are in the role of the one who provides and is always be there. And the mother is the only, listen to me, the mother is the only one who can identify who the real father is. If you're looking to a facsimile of the church, they're never going to be able to give you the information that Jesus is God. Hallelujah. I'm not really sure who your father is. Is it the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost? Amen. Well, I don't want to have a church tell me what to do and what I can't do. I just go by what God tells me, really. Proverbs 1 and 8. If you had turned there. This is a great scripture because it says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know? Hallelujah. You know, the book has the instructions, But many times it's the father who gives direction to the mother to tell the children what to do. You know, too many times it's when your father gets home, you're really going to get it, you know. And I find myself in that place sometimes, you know. I tell you what, if you don't do it, there's going to be consequences, you see. But my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, because the mother really needs to lay down the law, folks. We can't be wimpy, milquetoast Melvins who just never say anything hard. And then when the kids grow up, you wonder why they aren't doing what they're doing. Hallelujah. Folks, none of us would be here this morning without a natural mother, and we certainly wouldn't be here without a spiritual mother, the church. Took me 30 years to identify my father and my mother. 30 years. Been around religion, but really never knew who my real spiritual parents were. Thank God for the mother in the church. Their sensitivity is so incredible. There's something about women, and especially mothers, who have a sensitivity to the things that are spiritual that men will never have. Their natural nurturing that reaches out to those that are around them with compassion. Without the ladies in the church, folks, we'd be in big trouble. According to the scriptures, they're really the mercy seat of the church. It's what God is attracted to. Moms keep it all together and set the atmosphere for the home. They really do. You can tell when you walk into a home what kind of home it is based on the atmosphere that mom sets. Is it an atmosphere of joy and peace, or is there conflict here? Because she really can determine the temperature, the atmosphere, as well in the church because of her sensitivity to God. More women are used in the gifts of the Spirit than men, not because they're more qualified, but they're more open to having God, you know, speak through them and use them. Glory to God. New evidence by Dr. Blanchey of the New England Medical College. I read this years ago, and he's verified that a mother carries the blood cells from each of her children. Research shows when a mother carries her unborn child, there is a sharing of blood cells back and forth. So it's not just her blood cells, but she actually has the blood cells of the child that she's carrying. A mother not only gives life to her child, but she receives something in return, the child's blood cells and also the child's immune system. So when her own immune system may fail, the immune system of her unborn child, and even after birth, she still maintains that child's blood cells and immune system in order to save her in a situation where her own immune system won't work. She receives a part of her child that she carries with her for the rest of her life. Now, folks, that's a miracle. The doctor says when a mother is so sick that her own immune system cannot fight off the disease, it is thought that the fetal cells lingering in the mother's bloodstream is able to save her. So you might look at this and say, I wonder, you know, remember when I had that problem, that diagnosis? Is it because there were blood cells or part of my children's immunity that actually helped me through it? A child may leave home, but a child never leaves her mother. For a part of the child still courses through the veins, and perhaps it even saves her. it brings new meaning to 1 Timothy 2 and 13, if you turn there. First Timothy 2 and 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I wonder. We can look at that from the natural aspect that immunity of the child or the blood cells of the child ministers to the sickness. Or look at it in the church. There are some who perhaps aren't very strong, but you know what? They have an opportunity to witness to somebody else outside the church and go through the spiritual process of birthing someone, and now all of a sudden they seem strong like they had never been before. Thank God. Some months ago, I talked with a lady who was very distraught and still grieving over a son that had died years ago. It's not an easy thing to get over. Oh, yes, one day there's going to be a reunion. We know. Even babies, when they die, if the parents are in the church, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7 and 14, that they are made blameless. They're saved because of the commitment that the parents have made. Even though they had never been baptized, the parents are the ones who certify that they're saved. But part of her son still lives in her as a mother. What a comfort to know that children that are separated from mom by death or even circumstances still live in her through childbearing. Does this mean that Mary and each of us are saved through her birth of Jesus? The blood of Christ remains in the mother, which is in the church. We're the church. So the blood remains within the church to fight off the problems, the sicknesses. By his stripes, we are healed. Paul said that the women are saved by accepting their role as mothers. This world doesn't believe that the woman really has any real value sometimes, except if they were involved in business or attain a certain title or you know, things. But there are more and more women who are deciding, you know what, I'm opting out of business, I'm opting out of career, because I recognize the real fulfillment is becoming a mother. Hallelujah. Could the same be positions in the church? Well, that's nice. Got a title. But there isn't a fulfillment there until I have my own spiritual baby. Huh? Man, I feel more part of the church than ever. Eve's attention had been focused on what the world had to offer. You know? Good to eat. Pleasant to look at. But through childbearing, she focused on what she could offer the world. Church, staying focused on spiritual births brings healing to the church. I believe when the church is focused on there are people who need to be born again, When the church's focus is on that instead of what we can get from God, then all of a sudden you're going to see healings and miracles like we have never seen. Hallelujah. The church must embrace its role as mother, reaching the lost, those that are born again because of the witness and because of teaching, brings health and vitality even to old geezers like me. Solomon said in Proverbs 31, we heard it this morning, that children will rise up and call their mothers blessed. There is a blessing that comes later in a mother's life. I promise, it will happen. I know of people who have been retired and they're thinking, you know, I wish we would have had more kids, you know, because there really is a blessing to have children around a table. Question sometimes is, why do women live longer than men? You know, many theories, but one theory is that they stay involved in the lives of their children and have more to live for than men do. Here's the question: who is greater, Thomas Edison or Thomas Edison's mother? When Thomas was in grade school, the teacher sent him home with a note for his mother that said, "Your child is dumb, he's stupid, he can't do anything for himself. Don't send him back." And Mrs. Edison wrote back, "You don't understand. You don't love my child, so I'll teach him myself." And as a result, Thomas Edison gave light to the world. It's the obligation of the church to teach our children what this world can't possibly teach them. They might think, hey, you know what, you're ignorant. Going to church 3 times a week, you know, giving to the church. What's wrong with you? You don't send them back to the world. Okay. We'll teach them at home. Hallelujah. They say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mothers have a much greater role in the world than any businessman. She shapes the lives of a future generation. Why is this country where it's at today? It's because I believe mothers haven't taken the responsibility and the role that they should have. I'm not just laying it all on mothers, but you know what? All children need to have some model role and someone to say, this is right and that is wrong. There's a tendency for the church to just let people do whatever they want to do. But the role of the mother, the church, is to say, no, this is right, that's wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. When people are born again, God's royal blood flows in their veins. We are and continue to be saved through childbearing if we continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. There are mothers in this church who have never given birth, but they are great soul winners. They have changed the lives of many people even though they haven't given birth. And they are blessed. They are blessed. Finally, let's take a trip to the delivery room. Some deliveries take longer than others. Some are more painful than others. Most give birth in a hospital, but there are those who are born in a car or at home or in a lot of different places, because when the mother is ready, the baby is born. Brother George called me about a year and a half ago, and he was supposed to come. He couldn't make it. He said, God spoke to me so plainly. He said, revival is coming to your church, but you're not ready for it yet. The baby will come when the mother is ready. When the focus is, we need to have more births in the church. So turn to John chapter 3. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, you ladies understand that there's a process in the natural birth. There is a conception. When that baby starts growing inside of you, and in the church, there's a conception when you hear the word of God. There's something that happens within us that starts to grow. Ladies, you know there comes a time when the water breaks. And you know it's not going to be long until there's going to be a brand new baby. In church, we know that there's time when the water breaks in the baptism of Jesus Christ. And then, ladies, we know when that baby is born, there is a sound. You hear that baby cry for the first time, and you say, "I'm a mom." There is a birth. And we know, church, that after they break the water of baptism, that there comes a time when they yield themselves to God, and all of a sudden there is a sound that comes like a rushing mighty wind, and we speak in a language that we have never learned. And that's it. We're saved and take to heaven. Wouldn't that be great? You know, you moms, you give birth, and then you set the baby in a corner and say, "Hey, when you're 21, give me a call." You know? But that's when the work starts. That's when the teaching starts. That's when the child learns that really great word, no. But, no. Don't light the curtains with matches, honey. That wouldn't be good. You know? Don't play in the middle of the street. Oh, but all the other kids are doing it. No! That's what a good mother says. Hallelujah. A mother that loves her child and wants to protect the child will set parameters for that child. Amen. So the whole rest of the book is all about get out of the street, don't play with matches. Amen. Glory to God. There's some other scriptures. Where are they? Acts chapter 2. Verse number 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance." This is the birth. This is the birth. But shortly after the birth, the mother has the privilege of naming the baby. You know? The whole world stood still waiting for the name Archie. You know? Please. What about James? You know? Hallelujah. But it was the mother and the father who had the privilege of naming the child. So they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, 120 of them, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the upper room. And finally, Peter stands up because he's got the keys to the kingdom. And in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter, I'm thankful for the church. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Here we're going to name the baby. "In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children." Same promise that I got. my kids got, my grandchildren, hopefully my great-grandchildren. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, this warped generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day, and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the only way you can be born. I can shake your hands, but it's not having a baby. Amen. I can't pronounce you born. No, you have to go through the same steps. There's a joy in knowing that you're pregnant, but there's a greater joy after that child is born. Amen. Glory to God. So this morning, I'd like to open up the delivery room. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been a couple of times in the 31 years that I've pastored that I've read Acts 2 and 38. Because not everybody knows who Jesus is. Not everybody knows who the real mother is. We are the real deal. Amen. Hallelujah. We take our responsibility as mothers seriously. You know, I want to be friends with a lot of people, but I'll tell you what, there can only be one truth. Need to be born of the water and born of the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. God's just waiting for someone to walk into a delivery room. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Thank you, mothers. Glory to God. It's not always easy. Amen. Some of the most miserable parents on the face of the earth are those who won't put any kind of restrictions on their kids. And when we're 3 years old, you don't have to sit down and explain why you need to do certain things to your child. You know what? They need to follow your direction. They're not little adults, folks. They will become adults someday. Amen. But the responsibility is to take responsibility for their life and giving them directions, giving them parameters. And what I've noticed over the years is this, is those who have had parents who were very restrictive, they love their parents more than those parents who said, hey, yeah, just whatever you want to do. I've said this before. I was engaged to my wife for literally years. And, you know, we got married. She was 6. I was 7. Yesterday was our 51st wedding anniversary. I'm starting to think this is going to work. But I had to bring her home at 9 o'clock during the week, or her dad wouldn't let her come out again, you know? Wow, how restrictive. You know what? Dad loves me. Mom loves me. Kids need to have a mom like that, a dad like that. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You better come or I'll keep talking.